Thanks, Dave. And our next look at the Eagles' 2014 opponents and their busy off seasons, we go to Tennessee, the Tennessee Titans. Jim Wyatt of the Tennessean joins us. And Jim, obviously a changing of the guard in Tennessee this offseason. Out is Mike Munchak, in is Ken Wisenhunt. What are the biggest changes organizationally with that switch at the top?
The biggest is going to be going from a defense that's been a 4-3 primarily since they've been in Tennessee to more of a 3-4 hybrid defense under Ray Horton. And they've kind of built the personnel to do that. But it should be a different feel in Nashville and certainly a different look from the Titans on the field this fall.
Who are the players on that defense as they make the transition from 4-3 to 3-4? Who are the difference makers to watch?
Well, some of the guys that they've added, I mean, Wesley Woodyard, the linebacker from the Broncos, you know, Sean Phillips, you know, longtime San Diego Charger, who's now, who finished last season with the Broncos as well. Those are a couple of big moves. They signed Al Woods, a big nose tackle who can bounce, play some outside on the defensive line. You know, those are some of the guys on defense. You know, I think offensively, Dexter McCluster, they want him to be more of a playmaker to make up for the absence of Chris Johnson.
And with that uncertainty at the running back position, of course, all eyes on Jake Locker at quarterback. How does he fit with Ken Wisenhunt? And is this really a make-or-break year for him?
Well, it definitely is because it's the last year of his contract. I mean, he's got the fifth-year option, you know, that all these guys in that 2011 draft class have, but they're not going to pick that up. I mean, it would cost $13 million, and you're not going to pay that to a guy who's missed, you know, 14 of a potential 32 starts over the last couple of years and just came out of a walking boot a couple of weeks ago, you know, just, you know, several months removed from another surgery. So this is definitely a make or break year, no matter, you know, whether the team or Jake Locker wants to admit it or not. And if he, you know, if he fails during, you know, this season, and he won't be back in 2015. If he is successful and makes that next step like they think he still will, then they'll try to sign him to an extension. But he has a lot to prove, and they're going to give him a chance to do that. You know, with that said, you know, they're in a position, it's another position in the draft where I think they have to address it and have to start thinking about the future.
And the Titans do have the 11th overall pick in the first round, Jim. Sounds like there's really a lot of options on the table for them, a lot of positions they could address. Do you have any sense of what they might do at 11?
This year they could go a number of directions, and it's really going to be best player available at one of their needs. And I'm not saying they don't have needs, because they do have needs, and I mentioned some of them. You know, at quarterback and running back. I still think they need a pass rusher, but it's just going to be whatever they think the best guy is there. I mean, I think that Anthony Barr is a good fit for him, because even though they did make some moves to address the pass rush, you know, Phillips is going to be 33 next month. You know, Wembley, you know, granted, he's a better fit in a 4-3-4. He wasn't exactly, he hasn't really knocked anybody's socks off since he's been here. So they still have a need at defensive, at linebacker, you know, defensive end and a hybrid defense, and I think a guy like Barr would fit him well. And his old defensive coordinator, Luke Spanos, is now the Titans. You know, his defensive coordinator from UCLA last year is now the Titans linebackers coach, in Luke Spanos. So they've got some familiarity with Anthony Barr there as well. So I've seen him picked there in a lot of mock drafts, and it makes a lot of sense to me. The question is whether he's going to be around or not.
All right, well, a new era in Tennessee with the Titans. Jim Wyatt has it covered better than anybody else. Thanks so much for breaking it down for us, Jim.
Okay, appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right, we turn our attention now to the NFC, another contender for that NFC championship crown, the San Francisco 49ers. And we talk about their busy offseason with Matt Maiocco from CSN Bay Area. And Matt, it has been a bit of a topsy-turvy offseason for the 49ers. For the second year in a row, a change at the safety position. They bring in Antoine Bethea, the former Indianapolis Colt, the longtime Colt, and out is Dante Whitner. What does that mean for the state of the 49ers defense?
Well, I mean, I think they feel like they can just hit the ground running with Antoine Bethea, because they really are replacing Dante Whitner with somebody who's similar, you know, a solid pro, a guy who's experienced, shouldn't have very many growing pains going to a new situation, and someone who's a proven player, has the leadership that Dante Whitner has. So I think the 49ers, you know, a year ago, they were replacing Deshaun Goldson, and they made the commitment to trade up and get Eric Reed in the draft to replace Golson. Well, they felt like they could do that because they had Whitner. This year, I don't think that they wanted to go that route again to have two young guys at the safety position. So they bring in Bethea, and now they really don't have that huge of a need to select a safety at any point in this draft. Now, this is a draft where the 49ers can address a lot of needs with 11 picks overall, including six in the top 100.
Let's talk about that plethora of picks, and I think the expectation is because the 49ers have a Super Bowl-ready roster that there's an expectation that they're probably going to be doing a lot of moving and shaking on draft weekend.
Well, I think that's what they've done in the past. You know, their first pick is at number 30. I mean, they could very well stay there. They could move up. I think it's probably the more likely scenario would be that they would move up to get somebody they target. But just as likely, or you know, maybe not quite as likely, but I mean, it's also within the realm of possibility they move back. So it is wide open for them. And if they get to that number 30 spot, and there are several guys they like, most likely they'd be at the positions of a cornerback or wide receiver, and now maybe of an outside linebacker, 49ers might be tempted to move back. But if there's one guy that they fall in love with, they have the ammo to jump up and get him.
And then finally, Matt, just on offense, what do you think is the next step for Colin Kaepernick, a quarterback?
Well, I think the next step is just to get a better handle of his responsibilities within the pocket. It's to make guys around him better, you know, not just rely on two guys. And maybe a lot of that, in talking to Jim Harbaugh, is the fault of the other guys, you know, the other wide receivers other than Antoine Bolden. And then after Michael Crabtree came back, you know, he had a couple pretty good weapons there. But we all know that he can make plays with his arm. I think he needs to maybe just show a little bit more inside the pocket. We also know that he can throw the heck out of the football and make big plays in the passing game. To me, it's just, you know, the finer points of the game. He's in his short period of time as a starting quarterback, he's done things that nobody else with the 49ers, even in their illustrious history at the quarterback position, have done. I mean, he's won more playoff games on the road than every quarterback in 49ers history combined, which is amazing when you think of, you know, John Brody and Joe Montana and Steve Young, and heck, even Jeff Garcia made a few Pro Bowls, and of course Alex Smith. So Kaepernick has shown the ability to play well in big games. Unfortunately for the 49ers, you know, he made the three turnovers in that NFC Championship game against the Seattle Seahawks, which played a big role in the 49ers staying home for the Super Bowl.
All right, well, Matt Maiocco from CSN Barrie breaks down the San Francisco 49ers, one of the Eagles' opponents in 2014, in what will surely be a big-time game.